It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Please that you follow along. We're in the book of Philippians as we continue the study of this precious book. We're in the third chapter. We'll be reading verse 3 through verse 6. And so please that you would open your Bibles and follow along with me. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd love to invite you to come and see us. Most of all, right now, I want you to enjoy the Word of God as we come to study His precious Word. If you're prepared now, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, again through the 6th verse, we're going to read today. Philippians 3, 3, "For we are the circumcision." Let's back up. I'd like to read the second verse first. Kind of gets into the direction we're going in. "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath reasons for which he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless." Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start the study. Father, I ask you that you will guide and lead us, that you can direct us each and every minute, every second that we have this opportunity to visit. I ask that you will lead us into a way of righteousness, to a way of holiness, and we know that the only way that that can be accomplished, attained, is by and through your precious power and through the leadership of your Word, that we listen so carefully as we study the Word and listen to the Holy Spirit that touches our heart. Please, Lord, that you'll convict the heart of the lost, that they know they need to be saved, they need a Savior. I ask, Father, that you'll just fill every void and every need that we have this day. And so please that you will guide us now and that we listen so carefully and be good listeners, be obedient to what you tell us to do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last few weeks, we've been looking at these verses of Scripture concerning beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of concision. And the concision is the one we kind of closed with last week. And it begins almost immediately with the third verse here, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit." Now, many times, man has been so guilty of coming up with their own little ways and their own little directions as far as how we are to save ourselves. And we add certain doctrines to the church, certain requirements. But again, as I said last time, what happens when we do that? We are taking away the power of God, not making God any less powerful Himself. But as far as our lives are concerned, as far as anything that we have, as far as attaining God's power and His direction, His leadership, every time that we add something to the Word of God and continue to do so in any direction, we can just plan on, know for sure that we are going to cut away and lose the power of God. And so many folks that are religious folks that go to church very faithfully, you'll find that I don't like that word religious very well. I don't use it very often because many people that are so very religious are so very lost. Because they have become religious, they do it and do it faithfully and maybe very hard workers around the church, but they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you've been listening to this program for some time and you just keep wondering what I'm talking about because at your church they don't preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Well, they should. That's what the Word of God tells us, and there's nothing more important than you for you to come to Jesus, recognize, and what's going to happen if you would come to the Word of God. If you begin to read the book of John and read through that book, enjoy that book, go through the book of Romans, there's some very areas there that aren't the easiest to read through. But if you would go to John chapter 3, for instance, and read that chapter. Go to Romans chapter 3, read that chapter. Romans chapter 6, read that chapter. Romans chapter 10, read that chapter. Go back to John in many different areas of the Scripture that you, as you slowly enjoy reading the Word of God, just listen to it. And I'm talking to you whether you're saved or lost, but particularly lost, listen to those words, because the Holy Spirit will convict your heart of your sin and you'll recognize you need to be saved. It does it through the power of the Word of God. So I'm asking you to look to the Word of God for your salvation of your soul. You can just listen today as we look at the words, but please, that you, as you listen to those words, you'll find that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You'll find in John that you must be born again. You'll find back in Romans, the 10th chapter, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, in your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I ask you that you search that, because it's so very important that you do, and you go by faith and faith alone. You come to Jesus and you trust in the Lord Jesus. Please, that you do not add works to that. Don't add your church membership or your baptism or things like that. Please, that you recognize that the gift of salvation is just that. It is a free gift given to all those that turn by faith unto the Lord Jesus. All those that have been convicted in their heart, as the Holy Spirit, as you read this word, or as I'm reading this word, and you don't understand that feeling. You want to have what God has to give you, but you don't know how to get it. Well, I'm going to help you with that. All you need to do is come to the Lord Jesus right now and say, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. If you're being convicted, that's all you have to do. Please, Lord, that you forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins and save me. And He will. It's a wonderful day. It's a glorious day to be a Christian and to walk after the Lord Jesus. But please that you do that. Now, we have here in verse 3, he makes it very clear that we are of the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, who have no confidence in the flesh. There's nothing that I can do. And we've got many verses of Scripture here that we're going to look at today. I hope that you have your Bibles with you. If you've listened very long, you'll find out, and I use many Bibles, all the King James, but I use many Bibles because that way I can look at one verse and look back to the other verse. And so I'm hoping that you're enjoying the study and that you've caught on to that, that you will have the Bible maybe that you carry to church all the time with you, that you really study out of and use, have it where we're looking right now in Philippians. But then have another Bible close by that you can flip through it and look up these other references to confirm what we're talking about here in Philippians. Myself, I have worn out more Bibles than most people have on the shelf, and I'm going to continue to do so because I love studying the Word of God, and I carry that Word of God, and I use that Word of God everywhere. And I have an old Bible that the pages are beginning to fall out, and the maps in the back, they're loose, but you know, it's still one of my favorite. I love to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and it could be because the print's a little bigger. Maybe I can see it a little better. And as we look to Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, it tells us that there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You need to come to Jesus today. It doesn't matter whether you've been baptized for your salvation, because that's not going to save you. It depends upon Jesus. It doesn't matter what the name of your church, and you're a church member and you've gotten a star every time from your youth on because you had perfect attendance, that you have been an active member of the organization, the works of the church, and you're the only reason that church is still in existence is because you have continued to work so diligently and so hard. Well, I hope that work has been done in the name of Jesus and not in the name of that church. Do it because you know that you're a child of God, you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're enjoying His presence in your life, and you want to serve Him. And of course, He gives us the local church to do that in. And so I hope that that's your means. But it tells us, once again, I'll read this, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, doesn't matter, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Everyone that comes to Jesus, everyone that's a child of God, please that you trust in Jesus today. It would be so exciting. Your life will never be the same the day you meet Jesus. If we go to Romans now, I'm going to read through this. We're not going to take time to study it. I ask that you go back and would search it and study it later. Romans chapter 2, verses 25 through 29. And the very end of it there is the part that I want, but I want to read everything for you. Romans chapter 2, verse 25 through 29. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter of circumcision doth transgress the law? I told you we're not going to take time to look through this, but it comes to a close here in verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now I'm going to read once again, and I'd like for you to go back this afternoon or sometime today and look through those verses of Scripture, because it goes back and forth concerning the argument of circumcision or uncircumcision. Today you could go to salvation, baptism, or to any type of work, the constant work and service. You know, people think that they are saved by grace, but then if I don't continue to work every day for the Lord Jesus, I'm going to lose that salvation. That's contrary to the Word of God. It's contrary to the Word of God to teach that baptism saves. Baptism does not save, Jesus saves. And you need to come to the Lord Jesus and be saved yourself. Now once again, I'm going to read verse 28 and 29 of Romans chapter 2. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he's a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision that is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. Now, it speaks there of a Jew. Now, the problem was at this time that they were dealing constantly with all the old rules, all the old laws that were put into place, and many of them had become tradition, not necessarily the law of God, but many of them were tradition plus the law. And he is saying, and they were trying to say that if you were a true believer in Jesus, you must be circumcised. And they're straightening that problem out right here, and that's the reason we can come over to baptism and say the same thing, or to your works after you've come to Jesus Christ, that keeps you somehow or other. So one is necessary for salvation, the other is necessary to keep your salvation. That's not what the Word of God teaches us. The Word of God tells us we're saved by grace through Jesus. So please come to the Lord Jesus and be saved today. And know that God is in you. That's what happens the day you meet Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. It's wonderful. I ask that you trust in Jesus today. I ask that you follow after Him today. I don't know what this week has been like for you. I don't know what this last month or the last year, maybe it's been the best year you've ever had. Maybe it's been the worst year you've ever had. But I ask you that you look unto the Lord Jesus. And I ask that today be the day that you begin real life. And that's the only way it can begin, is in and with Jesus. So please, I don't care again whether it's been the best or the worst in your opinion. I know that if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. oh, you're breathing, you're motoring around here and there, but you don't have life. And I want you to have life. God's free gift to you is salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus. Please repent of your sin and come to Jesus today and be saved, please. John chapter 4, another verse of Scripture. We're discussing and looking at the third verse of Philippians chapter 3. And these are just many verses of Scripture that talk about the same thing concerning, and let me read verse 3 of chapter 3 of Philippians once again before we go to John. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. That we come to the Lord Jesus, that circumcision isn't required, and we worship God in the Spirit, not through something of the flesh, and we need to rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh, verse 3 says. Now these are verses of Scripture that help us to understand this to a fuller way. John chapter 4, verse 19. It tells us 19 through 24. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. But Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Please that you listen unto the Holy Spirit today and come to the Lord Jesus. Walk after the Lord Jesus. Forget all these works that you've added. Forget these things that are part of that. Now, if you'll look to see that we're to worship in the Spirit, please stay away from all these ways, all these doctrines that we've established. Again, tradition, I guess, would be a good word, because the churches today are full of tradition. Many of those traditions can move and change from one generation to the other a little bit, and yet it's still kind of based on the same philosophy, I suppose, of some man at some time. Maybe the denomination that you belong to, that your church belongs to, it has continued to change. Well, if it is, then there's a problem. Because the Word of God never changes. The God that I know and serve is unchanging. So if you're changing, if you're moving into something that is contrary to the Word of God, that's the reason that we have the precious Word. So that we can go back and know whether man is leading us astray or not. I want you to have the salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ and be saved. I want you to meet Jesus at the cross, and I want you to walk after the Lord Jesus and enjoy Him every day. If I never get to meet you, if I never find out that you've trusted in Jesus and you start that walk today, the walk of real life in Jesus Christ, I never find out, there'll be a day I'll know. And I don't need to know. I know my heart. You take care of your heart. I can't save you. But I can sure bring the precious gift of salvation and bring life unto you. Whether it's across this radio or face to face, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter that I never know. I'd love to know so I could pray for you, but I don't have to. You don't ever have to step foot in this church to be saved. You need to come to Jesus to be saved. And I hope that you do that today. Oh, that you would look unto the Lord Jesus. And again, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I look unto my Heavenly Father, and I look to His precious Word, the truth, the Word of God, and I enjoy His presence. And I love serving Him. What happens? We move from the Word of God, the truth, unto our own works. Whether it be baptism or circumcision or church membership or whatever it might be, a thousand other things that it could be that you have added to, tacked upon into the Word of God. But the problem is always backs down to one thing, and that's flesh. And we find that in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he hath reasons for which he might trust in the flesh, I more. Or Paul is saying there that I have more reason than probably any other man to boast in my abilities, to boast in my accomplishments, to boast about who I am and what I know. He said, if there is such a thing, I should be it, because I have every reason to do that. Well, he closes verse 3 out by saying, to have no confidence in the flesh. And he's going to prove something here. And let me read verses 5 and 6 for you. Here is a statement of kind of a testimony of Paul's life in his earlier days before he was saved. Circumcised the eighth day. Definitely if you're a Jew. If you're an Israelite, definitely. Circumcised the eighth day. That was perfect. The stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. He names his family. Are you familiar enough with the Word of God that you can go back into Exodus and find the 12 tribes, the beginning of the 12 tribes? You see, you back up far enough. Let's go back to Abraham, and then we have Isaac, and then we have Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons and Jacob, or Israel, if you want to use his new name, the name that God's given him, moved into Egypt because of a famine. Joseph went ahead. If you'll remember, we're not going to go through the whole story about how his brothers didn't like Joseph, and they sold Joseph into slavery. He ended up down in Egypt, and God moved him up into a very powerful position. And during the famine up in the land of Canaan, up in the land where Jacob and the rest of the brothers lived, the rest of the sons, there was a famine there, a great famine. They went to Egypt after food, and they ended up moving into Egypt and living there for over 400 years. During that time, it went from the general direction of 70 souls to somewhere between 2 and 3 million. And that was the birth of the nation of Israel. That was the being. Came from 12 sons. And when he lists here and Paul names that I am an Israelite of the stock of Israel, I am the tribe of Benjamin, he knew exactly which family he was one. And this is one of the names of the 12 sons. Went all the way back. And he could name his family. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. We're finding the accomplishments again, the qualifications, so to speak, that Paul held, the degrees that he held. He was a powerful man. Very religious man in every area. Concerning zeal, it said in verse 6, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. These people that were saying that you have to be saved by grace and you don't have to keep all these rules that were set upon him, Paul didn't believe that. Paul sought after. He wanted to take. And many times he did. He was in the presence of Stephen when he was stoned to death. Stephen, a great preacher of the gospel. But Paul, because of the zeal that he had to stop that, because he was so religious and had so many directions that he needed to go according to the Israelites and according to the law that he thought was necessary, because of all of his accomplishments, the Israelite, the tribe of Benjamin, the family of Benjamin, a Hebrew, a Pharisee, all these accomplishments. Well, let me look at, just take a peek, and we didn't look at that, but I want you to see. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. So I'm going to ask you to take a very good look at where you go to church, because the time is very short. and you need to get away from the church doctrines if they're contrary to the Word of God. You need to get away from tradition if it's contrary to the Word of God. You need to get away if they don't preach the gospel. If they don't tell you that Jesus saves and Jesus alone, and if they don't explain to you the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and that you're saved by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. If you don't hear those words and hear them clearly, and I ask you that you study your Word, you stay in your Word, you search your Word, because I don't want anyone to fool you and to trick you. Please that you look unto the truth. Please that you look unto the truth. No confidence in the flesh. Verse 4, back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath reason for which he might trust in the flesh, I should. I should trust in the flesh for all I have. But again, verse 7 says, I count it all loss. Now we have some other verses of Scripture here I'd like for you to see concerning the confidence of the flesh. We had the others concerning the need of serving and worshiping God in spirit and not in the flesh, in the spirit. We need to serve Him, praise Him, honor His precious name, and we need to understand that there is nothing that we can do that can save us. Nothing that we can do that will keep us saved, hold our salvation, none of that. We need to trust in Jesus and Jesus alone and walk each day. And then by His power, by His strength, serve Him and honor His precious name. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, I hope you have the two Bibles out here. I always ask to have your Bible open. Now I'm asking you for two. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. Not by our works, by His work, the work of Jesus. Please that you surrender and come to Jesus and be saved. Luke chapter 18. Hope you can hear the pages turning. Luke chapter 18, as I look to the Word of God, verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee. Remember, what was Paul? Yes, look at that in verse 5. Paul was a Pharisee. The other was a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into the heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every man that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Paul called himself a Pharisee. Paul found Jesus. Holy Spirit convicted his heart, and Paul accepted the free gift of salvation and was saved. Will you follow Paul? Not as a man, but as a gift of God, because Paul tells us, as the Word of God tells us, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus saves. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?